Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by the new season of the Spotify original podcast, Dissect. Dissect is a serialized music analysis podcast where they take a single album per season and examine the lyrics, music, and meaning behind one song per episode. Their new season is all about Kendrick Lamar's 2017 album, Damn, one of my favorites, unpacking this Pulitzer Prize winning album note by note, line by line. I got loyalty. Invite me. Stream Dissect on Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, because great art deserves more than a swipe. I can never keep myself away, cause when I'm next to her, I feel those warm wrists reaching out from her love. She touched me with a smile that glows. I can't go a day without my sunshine. She warms me with her heart of gold. I can't go a day without my sunshine. I can never keep myself full. You know that song?
I do.
Greatness who does not get his flowers enough, Alexander O'Neal. My Uncle Alex. He had a rough go for a time, but he is talented.
I'll give you that. I'm not going to disagree with that.
I am a fan. Praise the Lord, niggas.
Praise the Lord, niggas. Welcome back to Getting Grown with Jade and Kia. I'm Kia.
I am Jade.
And we are back to talk about the scam that is adulting. The good, the bad, the ugly, the test, the trials, the twists, the turns, and the temptations of being a real live adult in the year of our Lord 2019.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Happy holidays.
Oh, so happy.
So happy. Just overjoyed.
So happy. Happy days is what they are. How are you? I just saw you, but how are you?
I am doing just fine. You know, just grateful to be back. Grateful to shoot another show. I mean, record another show. We're not shooting.
You know, all of that, same thing.
And, you know, excited about closing out December and heading on into January. How are you?
Wow. I'm here. You know what I'm saying? And adulting is truly a scam. San Francisco was great.
It was so good.
It was so good. I really like the energy was really nice. It really was. And we got so much love. Shout out to everybody who came out and showed up for the meet and greet. Shout out to the wonderful listener who gave me this Maxine Shaw candle, which was so the second candle that she'd get, because she made us the original Bokeem Woodbine candle. Because y'all know I love me some Bokeem Woodbine. And she gave me the most delicious bag of coffee. My God, I mean, you could smell it through the bag, and it just, I cannot wait to get into that in the morning. And weed, and it was great. It was the perfect gift bag. You know, and we just got so much love, and I really, really appreciate everybody who came out and supported Kia and I.
Absolutely.
Supported our siblings. We are appreciative to our siblings for bringing us on the road with them. And then I came back. And reality just kicked me right in the vagina.
Oh, my.
You know, I just told Kia this story, but I'll tell you guys. I, you know, came home. My family picked me up, got back in the afternoon. And they were like, we're going to go to the park and ride bikes. You want to come? I said, no, take me home. I'm tired. I had to get up and be downstairs by 4:30 this morning. So my husband was like, it's cool. We're going to drop you off. So they dropped me off. Not even an hour later, they come racing in the house. He's screaming my name and she's just screaming. And so, you know, obviously I run to the front. I'm like, what is going on? Her skin is all off.
Oh, no.
Ankles all twisted. So had to play doctor, clean up, wiggle the toes, make sure things weren't broken. Long story short, Noah fell off her bike and she has a sprained ankle. So she is on baby crutches.
Aw.
I am not going to lie and say that Tristan and I did not giggle a smidge when they bought them baby ass crutches into the room today at the doctor's office.
So
it's
childish.
Terrible. I know we are. But, you know, this is only, of course, after she is fully okay.
Absolutely.
But they brought them little crutches in and it was like, oh, my God, they're so little. So those are some of those parenting moments that people don't really talk about, those honest moments. Or you laugh at inappropriate times. But she's fine. She's her ankle is sprained. She's very, very excited to be using her crunches, is what she calls
crunches.
Them. Crunches. She's like, so am I going to get crunches? She was freaking out last night because she thought she was going to have surgery. She was like,
surgery?
They're going to give me surgery.
Oh,
and I was like,
gosh.
No, Cookie, you're not going to get surgery. I promise.
What
about shots? I'm like, no surgery, no shots.
So much television.
I know. I'm like, you're not going to have surgery. Like, it's fine. So we propped her up and made her comfortable. So now she's home for the week. And, you know, niggas just got back in town and got to leave again. And it's just great. Everything is great. How are you?
You know... We talked about how I am already, so let's just
do you see how I am, sis? Let's move on to the trash. I did compose our trash today.
All right, come on, trash composition.
Oh, cleanup woman, we need you in so many ways. All right, let's get into some basura today. The baby was on Saturday Night Live.
Was he now?
Yes, he was. And I must say, I have to say, the baby is like a nephew who just brings me great joy. He really is. He just makes me happy, makes me smile. You know what I'm saying? It's not a sexual thing. No, it's not a sexual thing.
I recognize that there are lots of people who are attracted to him.
Oh, very
and
many.
I don't not get it. He's not an unattractive person at all.
No, not at all. I have come to terms. I was like, he's like a nephew. He makes me he makes me happy. His little smile,
How
he got on SNL, probably 21. Let me see. The baby. Okay, yes, here he go. Oh, he was born in 1991. I was definitely in school.
Oh, no, he was...
He's 27.
Yeah, he's a little bit older than 21, but yes.
Oh, born in Cleveland, Ohio. Well, that makes sense. Jonathan Lindell Kirk.
Lindell. Jonathan.
Jonathan Lindell Kirk. Oh, yes. Well, he was on SNL, and I did not get to see the episode because I did see the performances after the fact, and he was up there performing. He had on a cordless mic, a headset, a Britney Spears headset.
Oh my gosh.
And he was
toxic.
And he was moving about on the stage, and he was dancing. He had choreography and background dancers. And,
very nice.
You know, there was a white girl who pussy popped on the handstand and also like walked with it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it was out, and then he brought out the Jabberwockies.
Oh, nice.
Yes, he brought out the Jabberwockies just like he
TBT.
Did in the video. I love me some Jabberwockies. They're so smooth, and they did their little moves. It just made me happy. So The baby really, he brought it on SNL. Even if you're not a fan, you have to be a fan of his aura. He's just, he just is a pleasant young man.
Is he pleasant?
He's just a pleasant young man. He just gives me just great joy.
He seems polite.
He does. He
like
does.
He seems mannerable. Like
a little country thing.
He's been raised.
Mm-hmm. But you see some of...
I hope that that, you know, it's just, that's all an assumption. I don't know anything about him other than the fact that that young lady on Twitter really enjoys him and wants to marry him.
Who is this?
That, oh, she's on Instagram. What's her name? B. Simone? Yeah. And she's like, she used to be on Vine and stuff, and now she's one of the Instagram girls. And her Halloween costume was DaBaby's wife. She had on, like, a gown and, like, was connected to, like, a cutout of him. It was innovative. I respect it.
Nice. Yes, same. Common and Tiffany Haddish are apparently some sort of item, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, this is all alleged. This has not been confirmed by any means.
Oh.
But as I was reading on the blogs.
I thought he was dating Angela Rye.
Well, apparently they, which I had no clue they had gotten back together, but apparently they got back together and then they are now broken up once again.
Oh, Common.
Yes. And so he has been seen multiple times with Tiffany Haddish. Now, I think they also are supposed to appear in something together. So that could very well be what are you laughing at?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm just thinking about who we've known Common to date. And it's just quite a range. Like, he's like Erykah Badu.
Oh, he said Erykah Badu is like family to him now.
Serena Williams.
I totally forgot about she.
Angela Rye and yes, Tiffany Haddish. Like, this is just like a range. It's, he, I don't know that he has a type.
I don't think he does. I don't think he has a type.
Which is probably
at all.
Fair and fine. And I mean, a whole bunch of fun. But it's just like interesting. Like, okay.
It is fascinating. It is very fascinating. So
live your best life, Common.
If Common and Tiffany Haddish are an item, I am just interested to see how that turns. Wow, watch them end up being the old married couple that we'd have never expected.
I don't know if I see it.
I don't see it, but watch it just happen just because niggas don't see it.
I feel like Common and Angela Rye made sense. And I'm not saying like Tiffany, I don't know.
They made a little bit more sense. Like the whatever Common phase that was that he had when he was with Erykah Badu, that made sense at the time.
Right.
Common and Serena didn't really make sense to me.
I felt like, but I wasn't like, I'm not as taken aback as I am with this news. Because there's just like a level of like you expect, I don't know. I don't want to sound judgy, but Tiffany and she ready? I don't know.
Oh no, but I definitely don't see it.
But whatever.
I definitely do not see it.
Listen, I mean, listen, Tiffany, go off, okay? Get what you need.
Get what you need. That's you all need. I'm here for that. I don't care in what way it comes. If it if it's through the, you know, the thumb nigga, that's fine. Because Common does look like a thumb.
What?
He looks like a thumb.
Like, you mean like his head? Like, okay.
A thumb. A literal, look at my thumb and draw a little face on it. Okay. That's Common.
All right, that's enough.
Cardi B and Culture.
I saw them.
We're on the cover, on the Vogue cover. Don't they look beautiful?
They look beautiful. I just wish that Cardi's wig was pushed back just a little more.
Just a smidge.
I felt like it was sitting on top of her eyebrows, and that was a lot for me.
Just like an eighth of an inch.
Just pull back just a little bit. Yeah. Just a bit more forehead is what I needed. I mean, but you know, she always gives us a moment in fashion. Culture is just a gift.
Oh my God.
And I just enjoy. Like I was glad. I love to see it.
I love to see it. So R. Kelly has been charged with more felonies.
Thank God.
I don't mind speaking on this because this is positive news. So he's been charged with more felonies.
Okay.
And this, so these are in relation to his marriage to Aaliyah. So he's got felonies for bribing officials for fake ID for an anonymous woman. And this was the day before he married Aaliyah.
Hmm.
So he is being charged with more and more. And I just love that they are just not letting him go. Like, he is there and he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Wow.
I love to see that. 11-year-old Charlotte, I don't know how to say her last name, Nibris, made history as the first Black lead in the New York City Ballet's Nutcracker.
I didn't know that was her name, but she's a very stunning little girl.
She is.
She's precious.
Nibris. I'm not sure, but she made history, and Misty Copeland showed up and showed her love. And you know, we love to see us a Misty.
We love Black ballerinas.
We love to see it. Yes, we do. Noah has a Misty Copeland Barbie. I love the fact that she has a Barbie. It bends and twirls. Do you know who? Oh, you know what? Actually, I'll get to that in a second. George Zimmerman.
Oh, hell.
Is suing Trayvon Martin's family for $100 million.
I saw that.
For resting on false evidence.
Child, I don't even want to give this country. Can we otherwise report that Sabrina Fulton is running for like a seat? And like,
Yes.
I mean, we're not going to dignify.
Yes.
This.
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. I was actually just going to wish terrible things on him, but let's focus on the positive. Yes. Sabrina Fulton is, she is running for Congress in Florida's District 1.
And I mean, go forth and prosper and be great. Be the change. Hello.
Please be the change. 'Cause we need it. Jesus Christ. And lastly, do you know who Tangaree is?
Yes.
Not the liquor.
I know, but this is the
real
the,
fish.
Yes, the some of Humans of New York.
Yes.
Tell me that she's going to have a biopic.
Oh, there's going to be more of the Tangaree tales coming down the pipeline.
Yes.
And I cannot wait for it.
How do we know this?
From the YBF. So, according to the YBF, an unfiltered look as the life as a stripper in the 1970s is coming, and we're here for it.
Yes,
an unfiltered
are.
Look. After Tangaree's real life stories went viral, she's gearing up for a new project to share more with the world.
Yes. I'm here for it.
Present. I'm all the way here for it.
Tangaree is an epic storyteller. Speak
Miss
her name.
Stephanie. Is her name. She's a former stripper. Miss Stephanie, a.k.a. Tangaree, went viral after she was posted on Humans of New York. If you do not follow Humans of New York, you are missing out. It is one of my top five favorite accounts to follow. And that's where the hashtag RealFish was born, I'm not going to go into because we're just going to let Miss Tangaree be Miss Tangaree, Miss Stephanie. So I can't wait. I don't know what's going to come of it, but I'm going to be front row and center, and I love to see that.
I love to see it.
And that's it. That's it for the trash today.
All right. I think that's sufficient.
That is sufficient. That is enough.
My sister's popping right now,
All right, so we have a couple shout-outs from the listeners. The first one I wanted to personally shout out. I don't know their name because it's listed as one thing and then the email address is another, but you know who you are.
Okay.
And they say, good morning, Queens. Praying all is well. I'm writing to say thank you. I just finished listening to the second part of the Nas of Thanksgiving, where you read a story about a woman who cleaned her grandmother-in-law's cast iron pot incorrectly. I have to admit, I had no idea what you all were talking about, as I, too, use soap and scrub the pan. After listening, I called my mother's sister and a few others who told me to keep the cast irons hot and wipe clean with just hot water and salt. Yes. Dry and then wipe with oil. That's exactly it. Oops. Well, I know better now and I feel a little crazy, but I'm just learning this in my 30s. Guess better late than never. And I wanted to shout them out because, yes, you are absolutely right. Better late than never. I'm so glad you are properly cleaning your cast iron skillets. And then the other shout out we had. It's from a listener, Tamika. And Tamika says, hey, Jade and Kia, I love the show and must listen faithfully every week. Thank you so much, sis.
Thanks, Tamika.
I just want to know, can I shout out myself this week? You sure can. She says, sis is tired, has been working her ass off to make things happen. My name is Tamika. I'm a student, full-time and part-time worker in corporate America and a new small business owner. I started Squeak E-Clean LLC this summer to create another stream of income for myself that I would love to take on full-time when the time is right. I do residential and commercial cleaning in the DMV area. This business is my baby, and I'm very excited to do something that I love part-time. I clean like Big Mama would clean. I take pride in taking care of others, okay? I take pride in taking care of others and getting shit done. If I do make it on the show, please visit and share my social media handles with your listeners. So here they are. If they mention getting grown, they will receive $15 off.
All right.
The Instagram is Squeak, capital E, Clean LLC. And the Facebook is Squeak E, Clean LLC. We will be sure to put both in the description box. Thank you, lovely ladies, and keep up the great work. You keep up the great work, Tamika. You are out here busting ass.
You're doing the Lord's work, girl.
And let me tell you something. Nothing makes me happier than a properly cleaned anything.
Listen.
Okay, so shout out to you. Remember, if you guys mention getting grown and you're in the DMV area, you will receive $15 off. And again, we will post all of that information in the description box.
Very nice.
Yes.
Squeaky clean.
Squeak E, clean.
She's in the DMV, girl, so listen.
Kia may be calling you.
Hello. Don't be surprised when your phone jingle jangles now. Come on in here and get this, like, help me to get my life. Just don't talk about me and don't tell my mama. I be needing some help. Lola is a female-founded feminine care brand offering high-quality period and sexual wellness products made with natural ingredients. They're here to make your period a little bit easier, and we're all here for that. So Lola period products are made with 100% organic cotton, never with any of the toxins, dyes, fragrance, synthetic fibers, or chlorine bleach that you might find from other conventional feminine care brands. Lola period products are all gynecologist approved and hypoallergenic, and Lola thinks women deserve to know exactly what they're putting in their bodies, so they list every ingredient on the box. Lola subscriptions are customizable, so you can choose your mix of products and absorbencies. And it's also easy to edit your order, change your delivery frequency, and skip a month or cancel at any time.
Lola also now offers two trial sets, each featuring a mixed assortment of period products made with 100% organic cotton for just $5. I love Lola because they offer such a variety of products. You've got lube. You've got condoms, you've got panty liners, which are very thin, natural. It's natural ingredients. Also, again, all of the ingredients are listed on the box, so you're able to see what you are putting on your body. It's BPA free applicator, so I keep them right in the bathroom in a cute little basket. And that way, when I have, you know, people who visit my house and they are on their periods, there's an assortment of things. You got super plus, plus, plus. You got regular. You've got light. It's something for everybody. Lola is absolutely wonderful. And the fact that it's delivered straight to my door is delivered in a discreet box. Not that I care, but for those who do, it comes in a discreet box. So you don't have all your business out in the streets. It's never been easier to try Lola. Get started with a trial set today and get 30% off your $5 trial set at mylola.com with the code GROWN30. That's mylola.com and code GROWN30 to redeem your offer.
All right, let's start at the kitchen table. Welcome back. As we noted at the start of the show, it is the holiday season. And I acknowledge that this time, as we've talked about before, I acknowledge that this time might be stressful or triggering for some people. We wanted to, and, you know, just stressful for a number of reasons, right? And so this is not to suggest that we're all sad and gloomy on the holidays, but just kind of in acknowledgement of the fact that the holidays bring about a different kind of busyness and activity and responsibility. We just want to acknowledge that and try to talk about it in ways that are productive. And I thought one of the ways to do that was to be intentional in preparing for the triggers of the holiday and so that we can experience them I don't want to say more productively, but just kind of to be prepared for them and to allow space in our lives to think about the things that stress us out and how we might navigate and work through that stress. So I had the idea of, you know, if I were to prepare a holiday survival kit, like a surviving the holiday starter kit, if I were to put together a list of items and activities that would help me to keep my peace during the holiday time, what would that starter kit include and entail? And of course, this is going to be specific to me and my life and the things that stress me out or trigger me throughout the holidays. And Jade's list or starter kit will be for her. I also asked the internet of some things that folks would include in their starter kit. So we're just hoping to have a conversation about some ways that we can cope and manage the stress of the holidays in whatever form it may come, whether it be like, you know, dealing with parents or nosy aunties and uncles, or dealing with being on a budget, or dealing with grief or loss, or dealing with having, you know, changing or shifting dynamics in your personal relationships or romantic relationships, to having new friends, new significant others, or, you know, having a significant other last year but not having one this year. So, like, just dealing with all of those challenges and things in ways that we might be able to handle those things during the holidays. So I'll start by asking you, sis, when you think about your surviving the holiday starter kit, I have an idea what exactly what will be item number one in your kit, but I will let you share with the people the keys to your survival.
Well, I mean, I think we all know me pretty well. So I'm pretty sure everybody knows the number one item in my bag is ganja. That is my mommy wine. those are my tea sticks. That is what keeps me mellow and sane, and it doesn't hurt anybody else.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so since that was kind of like a gimme, I need you to give me another one. Because, I mean, everybody on the whole planet knew that that was going to be your number one.
Every single soul, all the fish and the birds. What's another thing? My rose water, actually.
Oh, so my gosh. Please tell the people about your very bougie, expensive rose water and what you use it for.
Well, I'm saving this for a shout out, but it comes from Life Wellness, which is located in Brooklyn. And it is a house-made rose water, which smells like a garden heaven, okay? It is the most delicious rose water that you'll ever smell. Like, every other rose water you've ever used prior to this is just going to smell like poop compared to this actual rose water. Or just smell like water, like somebody's duping you. I use it because it smells amazing, and I spray it on myself, and it also makes me happy. Like, something about the scents just, like, kind of lift my spirit a little bit. And so I like to carry it around with me. And if I get a little hot sometimes, I'll mist myself. If I just, you know, if I just need to feel like a little pep, I'll give myself a mist. I love my rose water.
That's fair. And it's funny because I'm laughing because Jay really does carry this rose water around.
I do.
And, she dropped it one time getting out of an Uber, and you would have thought that she dropped her wallet.
Or my baby.
The way that she yelped out into the street. Oh, no! Like, it was like, what's wrong? Okay.
Like, my rose water. It's a glass bottle. It costs $20.
Okay.
And it is, I love my rose water, but it is not cheap.
Indeed. So my surviving the holiday starter kit, and this is not really in any particular order, but consists of happy habits or activities that I can do to, like, clear my head. So whether that be, you know, like I've talked about before, I like coloring. I have, like, coloring book apps on my phone, and sometimes I'll just color by number when I want to. Just, this is kind of like mindless stuff that kind of keeps me from sitting and just letting my mind wander around all the things that I have to do, all the things that I should be doing, what I'm not doing. And just kind of like, it helps me to kind of turn off from like work and processing and kind of like mellow out. So having those happy habits. So my coloring books, actually reading a book. I'm going to start a new book when, you know.
Oh, you do love your coloring books.
I do love coloring books. I'm going to start a new book, like reading book. I'm going to try to find a book. If you guys have any suggestions, hit me up. And I've decided that I'm going to commit to completing a show series. I don't know what yet, but I'm going to, you know, watch the show. I really feel like it's going to be something... something like Designing Women or
just, Golden Girls.
Or Golden Girls. You know, just one of those good nostalgic feel-good shows that I used to watch as a child. And probably something that I could watch with my mom and she would enjoy as well.
Oh, Golden Girls, yes.
Yes. So having happy habits. Headphones are a big deal for me. And I use them. It's very important for me to use them at specific times because I don't like to hear the sounds of people's mouths. And there are people in my family who slurp, who slurp tea, who slurp, you know, cereal from the spoon. And it just makes me want to flip the kitchen table over. So I have, I'm very strategic. I mean, and one of these things that I would like to have for Christmas is some, I want some Apple AirPods, but I'm on a budget right now. So, but in the meantime, I will have my trusty dusty plug-in headphones that I might not, you know, lose my mind.
You know, I think I'm a DJ in my head, so I like over the ear headphones.
Yes.
My trusty Sony Bluetooths just gave on me one of them. One of the ears, the cord popped out, and I tried to fix it. I tried to nigger rig it. And
I've never had a Bluetooth headphone, and I really want one.
Well, I love them, and I've had them for years at this point, and I'm really sad that I really tried to nigger rig it with some Gorilla Tape and some super glue, and it was working for a while, but then something was slightly off so that one ear would not all the way suction to my ears. So now I've been stuck with these Apple headphones, and I feel poor.
No, oh, don't do that.
I don't like things that go in my ear.
Give me another another element of your starter kit.
Oh,
something that is going to help to ease your stress and trouble over the holidays.
The ability to escape to my room.
Mm-hmm. The importance of a closed door. Yes,
oh
indeed.
Oh my gosh. Listen, I understand fully now why my mother used to go to her room so often and why she always had a TV in there. I have a lot of friends who are like, no, I will not put a TV in my bedroom. And no, I'm not just talking about Fran. It's
Keisha's
many like,
I will not put
a TV in the bedroom.
What?
Yeah,
Keisha. She's like, you gonna put a TV in the bedroom? Absolutely.
Wait till she drops that baby. Because let me tell you something. I have made my mother's sanctuary in my room. I have this little... So these are a couple of things that I guess are on my starter kit that are just a part of it. But my nightstand includes my little things that make me happy. My Florida water, my incense holders, just the things that get my resins. You know, I like to burn my white copal. And I also have my TV. I had that hole mounted on a tilting mount. And I said, when I want to come in here and relax, I want to come in here and relax properly. I'll burn my resins and I'll burn my incense. And I make sure that I buy my really good incense that I love.
There you go.
And I'll burn my white, you know, sometimes I have my little meditation. Then when I'm done with that, I'll turn my TV on and I'll have my me time.
There you go.
And that is really important to me. I really need that.
Absolutely. So as many of you know, I will be traveling to my mom in Nashville, my mom and my grandparents over the holidays. And one of the things that I have found that has been essential to my survival is while I very much enjoy being there in Tennessee with my family and spending time with them, because I don't often get a chance to do that. One of the things that is critical to my survival during this time at home is for me to have scheduled plans and things to do outside of my mom's house or my grandmother's house. having kind of like structured activities, doing things on my own, not feeling like the only thing that I'm there to do is just to kind of sit at my grandma's kitchen table. While I enjoy that very much, why that is something that, you know, our quality time together is essentially what I'm going there for, I found that I get a little stir crazy, and it's easy for me to be like really irritable and angsty if I don't make the time and create space for me to have some other things to do while I'm down there. So I reach out to friends that I have down there in the area, and make sure I have plans, you know, to just do some other things. Let's go to the movie. Let's go to the mall. Let's go get something to eat. Let's have some things to do so that we can kind of create some boundaries and space. And it doesn't feel like, oh, you know, I mean, you can get tired of looking at anybody, whether it be like, so just having,
the people you came from
and taking that pressure off. And I want to add, it's really important to kind of set yourself up to make sure that you can do that. And one of the things that I talked about when we were in San Francisco is that I have, thought about getting my own transportation so I don't feel like I'm literally bound and waiting on somebody else to get out. But yeah, that's something that I took me a few years to realize that I needed that. But, you know, the longer time, you know, the longer the length of my stay, if I'm staying there anywhere over 2-3 days, I have to kind of set up some other things to do. Like, let's go get our nails done. Let's go get a pedicure. Let's go do something else, so that I'm not just in this house for the full length of my stay.
Ooh, stressful.
Very, very stressful. Also, another thing that's really, really been clutch is my weighted blanket. I've learned that, you know, I sleep in my weighted blanket every night. When I have to go out of town for work for a few days, or if we're traveling over the weekend for a show, I can make it without it. But if I'm going to be away for any extended period of time, I try my best to pack it. Because my body is just grown accustomed to having it at this point. And it's really like not that heavy, to be totally honest.
No.
Like, I mean, it's 15 pounds, but
I think I have a 15 pound or two.
When I put it in a carry on, it's just like it's no heavier than my bag. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't feel like it makes the bag unbearable to.
Okay, that's fair.
And, you know, since I'll be going home for an extended period of time, I will probably be checking a bag. So I'll put the weighted blanket in the carry-on, bring that on the plane with me, and then put my check my clothes.
What's another thing on my list? Actually, my iPad and headphones as well, because, you know, I have to do a lot of the cooking and stuff. And so, one, you know, I keep my music going, but then sometimes, you know, they got the TV on in the front and it's loud, and this one's running through the kitchen and going to her room and doing all kinds of things. So I find that sometimes when I don't feel like listening to music while I'm cooking, I'll put my iPad on with my headphones and I'll watch a show if I know I'm going to be in the kitchen for an extended period of time. And it allows me to kind of zone the noise out and kind of just get into my groove. Music does that too, but sometimes you don't want to listen to music. And sometimes you don't want to listen to a podcast. And right. So, ironically enough. And so, yeah, I watch my little shows. I watch my little Bob's Burger or Snapped or whatever on my iPad. And I find that it actually is able to help me be productive while I'm there and kind of like zone all of that out as opposed to being irritated.
Right. I will round this out by saying, for me, like the last two things in my survival kit, are iMessage allies.
Fair.
So, as I talked about before, and I'm going to say something about this, I wanted to make it a whole episode, but I didn't want to like, you know, just, I don't know. Maybe I'll kind of share this now. And then if folks want us to have a more in-depth conversation about it next week or subsequent weeks, then we can talk about it then. But when I say iMessage allies, I found like, well, my brother used to be my person, right? So, you know, having a person that you can kind of like decompress and unpack things with in the family. So you know how like when you hang out with your cousins, when your aunts and uncles, you kind of go back to your own siblings, your own parents, and kind of, you know, decompress and kind of talk about, you know, family stuff with. But losing Brian, I feel like I lost that person. So in the Christmases that we have had with since his passing, I realized that I need to have people who I can text. who I can call. And even if I don't really have anything to say, but just kind of like, you know, have somebody to talk to about, even if it's like, you know, like Jade knows my family by name and I can kind of describe, you know, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that, and she'll understand what I'm saying. But even if she doesn't know the details, like just, you know, the fact that she's there and willing to listen is something that has been absolutely essential for me. You know, or for just for her to check and say, are you doing okay? And, you know, if I say no, then, you know, that's okay. Right. So it's not like always about like, you know, what can I do? But just kind of like having someone there in presence, even if it's just like in my phone, has been something that is essential to my survival. And the second thing is like flexibility and adaptability. I think in navigating grief or managing my grief around the holidays, one of the things that I have found that has been so, so important for me. And it's something that I have to be intentional about because it's not my kind of default setting, is like really creating space for me to be compassionate toward myself and to be flexible and adaptable and to give myself the space that I need to not be okay when I'm not okay. And to take the pressure of whatever expectations I put on myself. So, you know, expecting that this will be the third Christmas without Brian. And, you know, well, for whatever reason, even though I know it's unreasonable and ridiculous, because I know that it's something that I'll never, ever get over, I always find myself carrying shame or guilt around being a mess. Because it seems like my mess kind of comes out at the most random times. So it's not like I'll be fine in 1 minute, and then the next minute I'm just a blubbering mess. And then, you know, in terms of processing that, I'm learning how to let that be okay. And come to grips with the fact that it may be 15 years from now and I still could have those moments where I'm a blubbering mess, and that there is no shame in that. So like that kind of flexibility and adaptability is something that I put it in here because I'm trying to, you know, talk about it more and just kind of like face it, because I walk around during this time, during the holidays, with this like perpetual knot in my stomach because I feel like the holidays trigger me. And it's like one of the largest triggers for me. So just kind of being prepared to be triggered and letting that be okay. But I said, some of you have asked for us to have a conversation about like managing grief and loss around the holidays, or just specifically speaking. And I have like a couple of things here that I can just list. But I mean, if you guys want us to have a more in-depth conversation around that, and maybe even, because I mean, there are other people who are open on the internet about grieving their loved ones. And maybe this is a conversation that we can invite those people to. But really quickly, the things that have helped me in managing my grief and loss around the holidays are, number one, knowing my triggers, like I talked about, communicating what my needs are to the people that I'm around. Doing that beforehand, because like explaining it in the process or in the moment does not help my situation. Delegating a process partner. And that's just somebody to just, you know, just kind of, if I need to talk about things with, I can. Fury has really been that person for me, especially around Christmas time. Just having somebody there. This is outside of like my iMessage allies, but this person is the person who I hit up when I'm feeling certain things. And like I said, the fourth one and the big one I talked about before is like really letting yourself off the hook, practicing self-compassion, flexibility, and adapting. And when I say adapting, like one of the things for me is like, me and Brian used to travel to my parents' for Christmas together. So there are areas, and then like, so when I had to go to Nashville for his funeral and everything, mm-hmm. I flew. So like there are areas in the airport that trigger me. Mm-hmm. And when I can, if at all possible, you know, I avoid those areas. Or if I can't avoid those areas, then I have practices for that. So like Keisha is a person that I call, and I'm like, you know, I'm just walking past one specific gate, or I'm in a specific section of the terminal, and I just, you know, can you just stay on the phone with me, so that I don't end up on the floor. Mm-hmm. But really, I just want to just kind of list those. I'm sure that there are more. I'm sure that other people who are, I mean, I get all kinds of messages and notes and DMs from people who are, you know, dealing with the loss of siblings and parents and aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and all kinds of important people. And, you know, we share that in community. So if that's something that, you know, others want to continue this conversation and join this conversation about, it's something that I think that I may be almost ready to have a more in-depth conversation about, but I wanted to acknowledge it, mm-hmm. You know, in this small way, and just kind of say that these are the things that I have used to kind of survive the holidays and why, and the things about the holidays that trigger me.
I asked my, I might have mentioned this before, but, you know, I'll have moments where, because my grandfather passed right after New Year's,
mm-hmm.
and maybe 5 years ago. So I actually asked my grandmother, because I think more so about her, and I'm more worried about her than anything,
mm-hmm.
because they were married for almost 65 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how do you, like, so many people have passed from broken hearts and things like that. How do you continue to move forward? And, like, it also helps me when I get sad, because I spent a good amount of my life with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I talk to him,
mm-hmm.
and I, you know, look at pictures, and I just talk to him. She's mm-hmm. like, and I play a lot of songs that we love together and just think about all of those memories. She's like, and that's what keeps me feeling good, because I remember those things, and that's what keeps me from breaking down and being sad all the time. And it's helped me. So when I feel sad for people that I've lost, I talk to them.
Yeah.
I've
written Brian letters.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have seen on Instagram, like, you know, I will, like, I'll post a picture of him, and in the caption it's like I'm talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And also sharing and talking about it with other people I found has been helpful to me. Because it kind of just makes the process a little less lonely and isolating to know that I'm not the only person, kind of managing these struggles,
mm-hmm.
And that it's okay for me to still be struggling. And just like you said, you raised a really good point, is I find comfort and strength in being supportive to my mom during this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this is something that we are navigating together, and it's a burden that we share. So if there are ways that, you know, when her arms get tired, I can hold her arms up, and when my arms get tired, she can hold my arms up. That's mm-hmm. really, to me, something that I think Brian would be proud of us for.
Yeah.
So that is helpful. I mean, when I say that the holidays are a challenging and difficult time, it is because of all of the busyness and all of the, you know, hustling and bustling and the traffic and all of that. But it's also because the holidays, you know, trigger, us in ways that remind us that, you know, the things that, you know, that we, of the things that we've lost,
mm-hmm.
And the things and the people that we've lost, and not just grieving the person in their physical absence, but grieving the life that you thought that you would have with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that is not at all limited to a specific period of time. So if you are dealing with any kind of grief or heaviness or loss or sadness or depression, as a result of anything during the holidays, I just want to encourage you, you know, that it is a series of days that we can navigate together. And, you know, we can get through it together. And even when it seems like, you know, unfair and grueling, you know, it's okay for you to have those feelings, but we just have to move through them and not kind of, you know, stop and stall in them. So your Getting Grown family is here for you. I'm here for you. Jade's here for you. And we will be here for one another together. And, you know, we'll just make it. All we got to do is make it to January 1. That's it.
That's it. We're almost there.
But that's
on the wings of love, only the two of us together fly.
Oh my God.
I figured we just end that on a nice little Jeffrey note.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Let's move on to this honesty bag.
All right, let's do it. Getting into debt is easy. Getting out of debt is hard science. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt, because they know you're more than just your credit score. So as we know, young people are, you know, we are the prey of credit card companies. They prey on our innocence and our ignorance around what it really means, you know, to have a credit card and to have credit. If we would have known about, you know, Upstart as a low interest rate option when we were younger, there probably would have been a lot more choices. We would have made better choices around our spending and, you know, our options for paying back once we've spent. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart makes it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards and meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into just one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/grown to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/grown.
Honestly, truly.
All right, all right. Let's get to it on this box of honesty. You know the usual, praise the Lord, niggas, God is good all the time and all the time. Okay. I need help.
Okay.
I feel like I'm constantly in the position of being taken advantage of at each job, and it's not from a lack of speaking up or exceeding expectations. Background. I'm a professional corporate event manager. I've been doing this for about 15 years for large medical nonprofit and other corporations. Mm-hmm. I've been recognized as a top 40 under 40 event planner within the country. Long story short, I am damn good at what I do.
All right.
I've only become comfortable with saying that after realizing I need to praise myself the way the white man praises themselves. Every company I'm at recognizes the work that I've done. I've gone into organizations and made positive changes, increased efficiency, and upgraded events. Each time I'm praised for what I've done and been told that I will get a raise and or title upgrade. Currently, I'm in a situation where my company went through a merger and I was promoted to manage both event teams. Of course, with mergers, there were layoffs and my team decreased in size, which means I increased my workload. I was promised a significant title change and pay increase. This happened in July. We're now in December and I have received neither. I've watched people around me get what they deserve and have been told that I had to wait to the end of the fiscal year. Today I was told that there is no money for the pay increase and they're not sure whether or not they'll be able to change my title. I'm tired of this rotating cycle. I know I deserve this. My CEO works so closely to me that he made a dotted line from me to him that has said I am the only event manager that he will work with. My question is, what do I need to do to end this constant cycle in my career? I started my own events business, and I'm thinking now is the time for me to trust in the Lord and step out, because that's the only way I will reap what I deserve. Has this ever happened to you? How did you handle it? Thank you, and I hope that this wasn't a long email. Please tell Queen ASAP Noah that she has plenty of aunties out here taking advice from her.
Aw.
Aw. All right.
I don't know. I think the first thing that came to mind is the importance of like showing and not telling. I think a conversation definitely needs to be had, but when you have it, I would be intentional about documenting everything. So I would have hoped, I don't know if this is something that you didn't mention it, so I don't know whether or not you have it, but if like the promise of the pay increase and title increase, sounds like it was a verbal promise, but in the future, if this were to happen again at another organization or even within this one, I would need that in writing. And, you know, when people say stuff, it's like, can I get that in writing? Or even like, you know, even if you have to write it and they sign it, you know, such that you can have record of this, because ultimately it always boils down to your word against theirs. But honestly, I think that this boils down to communicating and laying out for people, just like you've laid out for us, all that you do, all that, you know, the ways in which you bring value to the company, and, you know, really build a case for why, you know, or how you're being undervalued right now. But, you know, be prepared for whatever response you get. So be prepared for it to go in your favor, but also be prepared for it not to, you know, for it to be an unfavorable response, in that they say, you know, there's nothing we can do. Or they say, you know, or even worse, you know, say, well, girl, this is what it is. If you don't like it, you can go. As far as like whether or not this is about branching out on, you know, this is a sign that you should branch out on your own, I would just caution you. I mean, I think you want to, you know, just caution you around making hasty decisions. And this may be a sign that you do need to leave, but it doesn't have to mean that you have to leave right now. And it certainly doesn't suggest that you should leave if you're not prepared to leave financially. And in terms of having a plan for how you and your business will move forward. So I don't know. I think those are the things that I would do. I would document, and really like, get the documentation from your employer around the conditions of the promises that you've been made. If that's not possible, whether or not you have that moving forward, having a strong, solid case with, like, you know, that demonstrates what specifically you do and the value of that work and labor. And if it does meet, and being prepared for whatever response you get. And then finally, you know, maybe this does mean that you start making moves toward branching out on your own. But I'm sure Jay can attest to the importance of having all of your ducks in a row, all of your things together before kind of taking those steps. And, you know, it does take time to do that.
It does. I mean, the thing is, for me, you know, there's a huge element to my personality that is safe. You know, even though I do like to step out on faith and I do a lot of things that a lot of people may not necessarily agree with or they wouldn't do, but I do have a safe element. So I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on building my personal endeavors into the career that I want them to be. I'm going to work on building those while I have this corporate job, and I'm just going to use it for what it is. I knew it wasn't really going to go anywhere. I knew it wasn't going to go where I wanted it to go professionally. So at that point, I used that job. And then when that came to an end, that's when I was like, all right, so I've taken this time, I've built these things up, and while I'm not exactly where I would love to be while I'm doing this, I'm going to do it. And I've been doing it. You know what I'm saying? And I can say that the bills are paid and, you know, I'm able to try to take care of a few things. I'm not balling out of control. You know, it's no Jermaine Dupri Jay-Z over here. But it will be. I'm still speaking those things. I'm still working towards those things. But I am taking care of the things that I need to take care of. So I say all that to say, maybe you use this as an opportunity, like Kia said, not to make a hasty decision, but have a conversation with them. See if you can get some forward movement. You know, we could totally all be surprised, and you can go to them with your whole case and say, all right, this is what it is. And maybe they'll look at you and say, you know what? She's a valuable person. Like we have, and because you presented your case, and they'll give you what you want. But if that's not the case and things don't go that way, maybe you use that as a sign to say, I'll use this job for what I need it for right now while I build my personal career up. And then that way you can start to kind of merge over on that side of things. And before you know it, you're making more money working for yourself than you are for somebody else. And then you don't need the job anymore.
Right.
So I hope that helps.
Every entrepreneur will tell you that, you know, there's a level of personal investment that goes mm-hmm. into building your business. I mean, it's easy to invest in your business when you have the resources to do so. So if there's another means for ensuring that you have those resources, mm-hmm. then, you know, you want to do everything that you can to take advantage of those resources while you have them. Yep. And, you know, even if it's not in terms of like, you know, maybe it's not a right now thing. Maybe it's like, you know, you have the conversation, it doesn't go the way that you want, and you commit to yourself that you'll, you know, have a plan, you know, that within 6 months you'll have, I don't know, a certain amount of money saved, or you'll have a certain, you know, amount of clients booked, or you have had a certain kind of projects, and you can kind of, you know, start to work toward your mm-hmm. goal of, you know, just being
you
able.
May look up one day, you making more money over here for yourself right. than you are for them.
Right, right. But you then, but that's the ideal situation, right? Because then you have the flexibility to make a choice mm-hmm. around, you know, moving in your business when you want to versus when you absolutely have to.
Yep.
So I think that is the ideal position to be in. And if you can be in that position, I would do so for as long as possible.
I hope that was helpful. Please keep us updated and let us know how things go as you continue to build. Because we know you're going to be successful.
Absolutely.
We absolutely do. And we cannot wait to make you a shout out for people to book you for all of their wonderful events.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, keep us updated. Continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. And we can jump on into this Black woman self-care.
I deserve. Oh, oh, yeah.
Black woman self-care time, because we deserve.
Sing, Mama D.
Oh. I said it. Oh, did I say this? Was this my Black? Oh, no, this was not my Black woman self-care. I mentioned it during the San Francisco show. We went to San Francisco this weekend, as we have said, and it was wonderful. And we got up and we went to breakfast on Saturday morning. And, you know, had the weather been different, maybe we would have gone to explore the city a smidge. You know what I'm saying? But it was just raining. And I think that was a sign that everybody needed to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to breakfast and then we walked for a couple of blocks and did the exploring we were going to do. And then we went back to the hotel. And when I realized I had hours upon hours to not only take a nap, but get up and take a shower and order food and comfortably do my little makeup that I know how to do. Like, it was wonderful. And I went to the hotel and I put on my muumuu and I got in that bed and I took a nap. Yes. I watched TV. And glorious. I woke up and still had hours before I had to get ready for the glorious. Show.
It was glorious.
So that is my Black woman self-care this week. You know, it would have been really nice to explore San Francisco, but I realized the amount of time we were there and all of that, it just wasn't that type of trip. So instead of trying to even make it that type of trip, it was like, you know what? Take advantage of this little alone time that you have and enjoy it. And that's what I did.
So, so good. I too did this very same thing, but I won't just be redundant. I will say though that in San Francisco, I did mention this. So forgive me if for those of you who are at the San Francisco show, if I'm repeating it, but it is really a big deal because I usually spend a lot of my time on flights. Sorry, working.
No,
I hear her crunching.
Yes, Cookie. I'm recording right now. Go pee. I know you have to pee. okay? You want, hold on, Kia. Hold on, listeners. Kia will sing you a musical jingle in the
meantime.
No,
Kia will not. But I will keep talking about my Black Women self-care. Shout out to ASAP Noah, always making her presence known on Getting Grown. But yes, I took the opportunity to, I usually work on the flights, but the Wi-Fi on this particular United flight was like $30, and I just could not make a case for spending that kind of money for Al Gore's internet. Cause I'm like, girl, what? That's like a whole, what? Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not paying for a month's worth of internet. I'm paying for a flight's worth of internet, and I'm not doing it. And I let myself rest. I'm not really a person who can get a lot of sleep on planes, but I let myself kind of rest my mind, relax. I spent a good amount of time. When I mean, like, I'm talking about a couple of hours in my prayer journal, literally just writing and talking to the Lord. It was so good. Look at this real life parenting. But yes, it was amazing, and that was my Black woman self-care. And Jade's back. Jade is back.
Okay, I'm back.
Yes, I just told them that I spent the time on the plane not working, but relaxing and reflecting in my prayer journal, which was a good time. And we got to hear some real life parenting.
Yes.
In real time parenting. Which
is that's
good.
Fine, Ty. I don't mind if it's there. You know, this is real life.
You know, this is reality podcasting.
This is your life.
Absolutely. So Black Woman Self-Care. Be sure to let us know the things that you guys are doing, what books you're reading, what space you're creating in your life to prioritize yourself. One of the things I saw, I didn't get a chance to read Beyonce's is it Elle magazine cover or the?
Oh, I didn't either yet.
I didn't get a chance to read it, but I did see some quotes somebody put on Instagram. And one of the things that she said, having miscarriages taught her that she needed to learn how to be a parent to herself before she could parent someone else. Mm. And I thought that was just kind of like a less, like that scream, like the importance of prioritizing taking care of yourself. And like the metaphor that they say, like even on the airplane, like, you know, you got to put your mask on before you can put somebody else's mask
on. Ooh, that's it.
So make sure that you're masking yourself. Mask yourself first. So
it's
good.
It's time for the petty piece.
It is time.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right, it's time to get petty, and I am prepared this week.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things. I actually think I have two. Man, where do I begin? So I was in a convenience store. I went to get my hair cut last week, and there's a convenience store right outside of the salon suite. And I said, you know, I'm old, right? I'm of that age, right, where I'm just like, I be craving things like a cold ginger ale. So
yes.
I was walking to the car and was like, you know, I'm going to stop in here and get me a ginger ale or something. And I didn't have any cash. And I got my stuff to the register. And he was like, you know, I guess I was like $3 short of the minimum to use. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go back and get a bottle of water. Now, I prefer to drink my water at room temp. I don't really like cold water. I find that I drink it faster when it's room temperature. So I went back over to like where the water was, and I was asking, you know, if they had any room temp water. The other person in the store was like engaging with me, and he kind of said, you know, we only have room temp water of a certain size, and it's not really here. So I was like, okay, don't worry about it. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe this means that I don't need no ginger ale right now, or I'll stop at the convenience store closer to my house and get it. So I was going to go back to get my stuff to put it back. And the initial guy who I was talking to was behind the counter, was trying to get my attention. Now, I understand that we were in a store and he didn't know my name, and we were complete strangers. He didn't know how to kind of get my attention. And I understand that he probably did not mean to be offensive, but that man snapped his fingers at me.
Oh, no, indeed. Lose them.
Something inside of me, like, clicked. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He snapped his fingers at me and was like, hey, hey, hey. And he was like pointing, like, come back, come here. And I was like, nah. So I like,
there's no way you're talking.
No. Like, what? Because first of all, I'm not a child. First of all, I'm a human being. Like, I'm not like a pet, a cat or something. Like, secondly, I understand words. I speak them and I can hear them and comprehend them. And I'm also almost 37 years old. Like,
bitch.
To whom are you speaking? And I'm also getting ready to spend my money in here. So treat me like a person.
Give me a high excuse me, miss.
Yes. Or something like, hey, pardon me. Like, there are other ways to get my attention in the store other than like snapping at me. Like, I'm some sort of, I don't know. I don't even know. It was just like, to me, it was just so offensive.
That would make me want to break them.
I literally lost it. And finally, this is a few minutes ago. I went to get myself some food. And this happens to me with men only. And usually with men who are from other countries.
Oop.
Where I would say my name. And I might have said this before. Or I'm trying to figure out if I shared this on the show or if I was just kind of like venting to my friend. But this has happened to me and it keeps happening to me. I don't like it when strangers try to tell me or question me about myself. Like, people who I don't know, never seen, they question me about myself. So this is what happens. Someone will ask me about my name. I'll say what it is. And they'll say something like, oh, where are you from? And I'm like, you know, New York. And like, no, where are you from? And I'm like, okay. So, you know, we'll do that whole back and forth until we get them to understand that what I'm saying is like, you know, I'm just a regular, degular black.
Yeah.
And, you know, then this is always the question. Are you sure? Are you sure? Or something to that effect. Like, just a few minutes ago, the man, we was in Nando's. The man was like, Kia. So he asked me what my name was, and I was like, Kia. He was like, what does that mean? And I was like, I don't know. And then he said,
pops her gum. I don't know.
He said, where did you get it? I was like, where did you get your name from? And I was like, where did you get your name from? I got my name from my mama. What do you mean? Like, and then he's like explaining what it means. He's from East Africa. This is what it means over there. Perhaps your mom got it from there. And I'm just like, I don't know where my mom got it from. That's a question for her, not me. And I don't know. Like, and then it's like, you know, are you sure? Are you sure? I'm like, no, I'm not sure. But either way, I said what I said. Stop asking me questions about myself. You don't get to tell me, are you sure? Am I sure? I know what I know. I know that as far as I know, we are from America. Like,
that's it.
That's it. I'm a black woman from America. I'm a black American. I've not done my ancestry.com. I don't know the ins and outs. The bottom line is, you asked a question and I answered it. It's not your place to question my answer.
I get it, but like on the other side of things, it's annoying.
But like, are you sure? What?
Where are you from?
I'm me. Like,
what do you mean, where am I from? From my mother and my father. From America. And they're like,
just a regular day.
But where's your family from? I'm like, all over.
Detroit.
Like, mostly the East Coast.
Nashville.
Like,
and South like, Carolina.
No, but where are they from? What are you mixed with? I'm like, there it goes right there. I'm mixed with black and black. I'm not getting ready to go into my family stuff with them because I know what you're doing and I don't like it.
But I mean, as black as I am, right? As obviously black as I am, I get that as well. Like, what are you? What?
Like, yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that. And I'm also, and I mean, this is not to, maybe this is a conversation that we can have, but I think a lot of times people assume that when your family is, like when you're a black American, that means that you don't have any culture or that there are assumptions or that they, you know, assumptions made about what your culture is. But, you know, black American culture is a thing. Like, and we have that. So let us have
Which
it.
Is why I can start this entire show off with Alexander O'Neill and somebody like Kia or Dustin or whomever would jam out. You know why? Because their black parents also played Alexander O'Neill in
I mean,
the crib.
It's a thing. Like, it's a thing. But there are, I
that
mean,
is black American culture.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's food and it's specific and it's not a monolith, right? So like,
no.
Like Dustin is from Michigan and I'm from, you know, New York, And mm-hmm. I mean, you know, but there are things that we do the same and there are things that we mm-hmm. do differently. And but it still falls under the Black American culture. Like, you know, that's just like, you know, the differences in, you know, dialect and even accent from, mm-hmm. you know, like D.C. to Baltimore to Virginia. Like as close as those cities are, people who are from those areas sound different. Their euphemisms and colloquialisms are different. What was in style, you know, for us. In 1997 may be different than what was in style for Dustin in 1997. Mm-hmm. So like, you know,
my cousins in Cleveland say pop.
Yeah. I mean, there are just different. There are cultural things. And I think sometimes these kinds of questions of like, but what are you and where are you from, to me can be dismissive of those mm-hmm. cultural differences. And mm-hmm. I don't think it's intentional. And I'm not, you know, kind of calling out or trying to shame anybody, but just offering like different perspective and how those kinds of questions can make people feel. Like, you know, it is good enough that my mom is from Nashville and my father's from South Carolina and that's all I know. And that's good enough. That's going to have to be good enough because that's all it is.
There's light-skinned blacks. Yeah. Like, there are light-skinned blacks. It exists. You know what I'm saying? Like, black mother, black father. That's actually a thing. You know, now, if you want me to go into a whole history about who infiltrated the family bloodline somewhere back there, you know, without somebody's consent, we can have that conversation, but that's going to make you uncomfortable.
Right.
So, you want to do this or not? My petty peeve this week is super petty.
Okay.
I understand the world is dying and global warming is a thing. We're all going to burn soon. And we're doing everything in our power to try to save it. I know I am an avid recycler. I try to do all that I can. You all know that I love the biodegradable and all things that try to be environmentally friendly.
I'm not using paper straws, but I'm okay.
Also that I'm not using any paper straws. That is not my petty peeve, though. Okay. I hate them, but that's not it. San Francisco.
Oh, boy.
Is so green that I noticed they do not give utensils with their food. I guess you have to literally request utensils in order to get utensils.
Yeah, you have to request. I've noticed that in Uber Eats and stuff, that's like an option that you have to request now.
But usually I'm at home and that's fine.
Right.
Whereas I was in a hotel room, like, how am I going to eat a fajita platter right now with my hands? You know, and eventually we found, you know, the front desk had some. But I would just, if y'all could even just make a note in the apps or something, I recognize that this is like a first world problem. Mm-hmm. But if y'all could even just make a note in the apps that says, if you need utensils, please request them. Or click here if you need utensils. Like, if you could just say something so that niggas are not just out here trying to eat refried beans with their fingers. It would be so grateful.
Much obliged, really.
That's my petty peeve this week. That is it. I wasn't going to make no plain petty peeves. Flights weren't too difficult. You know. So.
This is good. You've had a good run.
Yes, we've had a good run. And that's another episode of Getting Grown. Shout out to everybody who bought merch, too.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to everyone. Like, we're enjoying ourselves on the road on doing these shows.
We're
enjoying ourselves recording. And it's just dope to just kind of see, you know, this family continue to grow. We're looking forward to continuing to do more and more and more and more things in 2020. And we are just so appreciative that you guys continue to kick it with us week after week after week after week.
Absolute.
So yeah, in the meantime and in between time, continue to consult the description box for all of the things that we mentioned today, from the shout outs to, you know, all the other things that we mentioned.
May I just say, the description box takes work, okay? I just want y'all to know, like, you know, niggas try to remember the links that are supposed to go in there. Every single ad that we read and say is in that description box, so you know how to find it. Every single thing, every shout out every week is in that description box, okay? In addition to a 1-2 liner that lets you know what this episode is about.
Yes, indeed.
I want you to recognize the hard work that Kia and I put in so that y'all niggas are taken care of.
And we know that you do, and we appreciate you for appreciating that. In the meantime, in between time, we're looking forward to next week's episode. We're looking forward to closing out our run with the Friend Zone in Atlanta this weekend. Atlanta, we can't wait to kick it with you. Please join us at our pop-up. In the, I think it starts at 12. There will be all kinds of treats and things for you to enjoy. And then we will close things out with our final show. We're going to have an amazing time.
I believe there's going to be a slutty vegan food truck.
I do too. I mean, I think details of that will be published soon. So make yourself available, make your way. And we can't wait to see you guys.
Yes.
So yeah, in the meantime, tell them what to do, sis.
Drink your water.
Absolutely.
Mind your business.
That's correct.
And moisturize your elbows and behind your knees.
Yes, indeed.
The crevices of your toes.
And your fingers.
And your feet.
Also, don't forget your scalp.
Oh, yes. Argan oil, an avocado.
Absolutely.
Because why, sis? Because your dandruff will cake up.
Your dandruff will cake up. And the black of your scalp and your skin will continue to crack because it's dry.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.